You are about to enter a great adventure.
This is Strutting from Gorilla.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode. We are really happy to be with you here today. I'm Mikey Cash. He's Big Vito. Unfortunately, we couldn't get Sarge on today, but that's all right. You'll deal with the OGs today. So obviously, I think everyone and their mother's talking about WrestleMania 40, and that is exactly what Vito and I will be talking about today. We're going to share a little bit of our overall thoughts of the show, sort of talk about some of our favorite matches, what really stood out to us, just from like a production standpoint, what matches were great, what stories they're telling. And I think more importantly, we kind of take a guess at, hey, where do we go from here? So before we get into that, just a reminder, you see the scroll ticker on the bottom. Find us wherever on all those social media gimmicks. You can also make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel. We are getting closer and closer to that triple digit mark. So we really love the support and appreciate it. Now, without further ado, let's dive right in. Vito, hell of a weekend.
Yeah, man, I'm exhausted and I didn't even do anything. I just sat on my couch. I don't even know how Sarge is feeling right now. For all of those you don't know, he was at both nights. He was at WrestleMania World, and he just looked like he was having a hell of a time, man. Really jealous of him. I think this is one of the better WrestleManias to be at. He couldn't have picked a better one. He went to both nights. I don't know if he went to Stand and Deliver. I don't think he did. But I know he went to WWE World and he gave it some praise. I think he has very high expectations. So, you know, he said it was a little bit underwhelming. We'll have to ask him about that. I'm curious. I saw a lot of photos and it looked pretty cool. But man, what a weekend. WrestleMania. Man, and you know me pretty well at this point. I mean, I'm a harsh critic, and I know you are too, but I tend to be on the negative side when it comes to an event. But I mean, just a perfect execution. That's really the best I can say. I mean, I was going to come on here, and I was going to tell you, we usually give this a grade. I mean, A plus. I don't know they could have. I really don't know that they could have executed it any better at all. I think the match makeups, like the way the order they came on, was perfect. Outside of the Bayley situation, which I already complained about, but yeah. we'll get into that. But both nights, just spectacular. I mean, we can get into the specifics of it all. But I mean, what were your thoughts, Mikey?
I mean, my overall thoughts was both nights, for the first time in the two-night WrestleMania era that we've had, this is the first time where it felt like both nights were equally as good.
Yeah.
I think up until just this year, it felt like night one was the night. And for whatever reason, just the quality of the matches, the quality of the stories, the match layout, the presentation, all felt like night one had the upper hand. And this year, they made a concerted effort, I think, to make sure both nights felt special, and it wasn't to shortchange the other. It kind of felt like WrestleMania Saturday, WrestleMania Sunday, both are equally as important, and they made it that way. They promoted it in that way, and all the matches felt like, this isn't like a consolation prize if you had to go to Sunday rather than Saturday or vice versa. And No. And you could tell the crowd was into it, into everything. And sometimes I think when you have a WrestleMania crowd, it can kind of go one way or the other. Like it could go bizarro world and they're just booing everybody, or they're just like not having a good time because they're not enjoying the show, which we've seen at past WrestleManias, unfortunately. And this one was really just leaps and bounds above so many other WrestleManias, in my opinion. This was really high up there in at least the top 10 of as far as WrestleMania shows go, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm not saying it's the best of all time. I would honestly argue it's up there. I mean, listen, this is coming from me who went to WrestleMania 14, and I thought that's one of the best of all time. I just thought the execution of everything that went on was flawless. Like, it was about as good as you could have imagined. And what's cool about it is I think it kind of went the way we expected with everything. And a lot of times, you know, you can be disappointed by that because it's almost predictable. But there was no disappointment for me. I thought it was done really well. And before we get into the matches, like, one thing I have to talk about, I really enjoy these press conferences after these big events. I didn't think I would, but they've gotten so much better that I really enjoy them. Now, I don't know if they're plants in there and it's like scripted questions. I don't get that feeling. But when Triple H came on after both nights, and I will tell you, it does go late, and you know, if you don't watch it day of, it's not the end of the world, but I ended up watching both of them, and Triple H coming on afterwards, it's just so refreshing. You can feel the fact that he is enjoying what he's doing and he's got full control. And you can tell that the wrestlers are enjoying it as well. And it's fun. It's fun. He said it on night two. He came on both nights. I don't know if you saw any of it or not, but he came on both nights at the end and did such a great job talking about both nights and kind of how things have changed. And the one thing that stuck out to me is he explained how when TKO took over, he would only keep doing this if it was fun. And he talked about a lot of the things me and you, and especially you, talk about how they're trying new things. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work, but they're trying new things. And you can see, even with the presentation of things, like they're adding the sponsors, which we can talk about, but they've added new presentation styles. They're showing the ring from the top, which they never do. And he's like, I'm listening to everybody. He's like, I have people coming up to me telling me about this idea. He's like, I really want to make it collaborative. And if something doesn't work, it doesn't work. But if something does work and it's great, then we're gonna keep it that way. And it's refreshing to see, because I think you and I have talked about this in the past, where Vince McMahon was so out of touch with everything and he kept everything so traditional, he was losing people to it. Like, he had great stars, but he was losing people. And to see that they're going in this direction, it just makes a whole hell of a lot of difference. And I'm very impressed with what he's doing, and I'm excited to see what's going on. And they talked about how the story is over, right? But it's only just begun. And I'm curious to see where it goes. And that's my opening thoughts on it. Like, it was just great.
You know, I'm with you on the presentation aspect of it, because you're right. It is something that we both complained about. It was the ho-hum Kevin Dunn style of production and how you present professional wrestling. And it started to feel incredibly stale. It's been stale for years. And there are so many, it wasn't just us complaining about it. For people out there, not to promote another podcast, but Tim Kale, Worker Wrestling, this guy's been talking about it since 2014, that they needed to change their presentation, and it's finally happening. So Tim, I'm happy you finally got it. I'm really pleased with it. And I don't know if you watched Raw last night, but this was the first time that I was really looking forward to watching Raw, and in like felt like this was must see TV. I felt like I needed to actually sit down on my couch, 8 o'clock, turn this on, and it was phenomenal. Like, what Raw was great, by the way, and we don't need to, we can get into that later, but what I'm talking about from a production standpoint, they did a really great shot of, there was a backstage segment with Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan, and they went, the camera, it was a single camera shot, they went from backstage, the cameraman went down the hall, through the crowd, entered the ring, and there was another match about to go on. And it was really cool of a transition how they did that. I was like, that's cool. I've never seen them do that before. And it's just little things like that just change up the presentation, make it feel more like you're watching sports, right? We all get it, right? It's predetermined. We're not going to fight you on that fact, but you can still present it in a way that makes it feel legitimate, that can get the crowd into it, that can maybe suspend your disbelief a little bit. And I thought they did a really good job with it. So I'm happy that they're trying new things, and some things work, some things won't. I think it's great either way.
Agreed. 100% agreed. So let's quickly, and I don't think we need to go into depth on every single match or anything, but let's quickly just like run down the card, because we can, because it wasn't this crazy packed card, right? And we're not going to go through our predictions. We'll post something on Twitter about who got the predictions right and wrong or whatever. But, and I think we did a pretty damn good job, honestly, in the overall scheme of things. I think we were pretty much right on with our WrestleMania preview. So first match, right? Opening up the, well, first of all, actually, well, let's talk about this. Did you watch any of Stand and Deliver?
I did watch Stand and Deliver.
Okay. I think it was cool. They did a good job. I couldn't believe they had 17,000 fans in there. Overall, I thought it was a great, great event. Perfect way to kick things open. And it was great. If you want to just quickly, like 2 minutes or less, give your highlights on it, go for it.
Great show. It had real NXT TakeOver vibes again. That crowd was hot for every match on that card. Very hot for it. I mean, so hot that like Baron Corbin was getting "This is awesome" chants. So come on now. All right. The NXT has figured out a way to make Baron Corbin cool again. And it's great. I think Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams absolutely tore the house down. That's not the end of their rivalry by any stretch, I don't think. Maybe this sends him back up to the main roster and like Carmelo's going to be done with NXT. But damn, him and Trick, once they both are on the main roster at some point down the line, that's going to be a WrestleMania match. Guaranteed. You heard it here. Okay. Roxanne Perez versus Lyra Valkyria. Great match. Those two absolutely tore the house down. Great for Roxanne Perez. And she was just on Raw last night. So a little bit of a spoiler from Raw, but she was just on there and had a great showing. So I think overall the atmosphere was electric in there. And it's a really good sign of things to come. NXT's really come a long way. And it seems like they're finding their footing again. It's really great to see.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. The one person that stood out to me out of everybody, Dragunov. I thought he was
so good.
He's really good. I've watched him a couple times and he is fantastic. Just puts on a great match and he sells one of the best sell work I see. And when you can do that for Tony D'Angelo and make him look good like that, I don't think he's the best technical wrestler in the world.
No, but he's good. He's got a good character.
But he made that match, Dragunov did. And anyways, okay. So NXT, great way to kick it off. Then we get into, even the pre-show was great. Having CM Punk, CM Punk is doing some of his best work on commentary. He really just, I don't know what it is. He's fantastic. And even in the opener, like at one point he said something, and he was coming out with all these jokes and he said something, he goes, "See what happens when you don't have someone barking in my ear?" He's like, "It's great, isn't it?" Which I thought it was fantastic.
And like, what shade to throw at Vince right then and there. Just somebody not barking in my ear, which is just classic what Vince used to do, just yelling at people inside their headset.
Yeah, and I think having that freedom is great. And Big E did a great job too. I just thought it was fantastic. The thing about CM Punk, and I know Sarge hates CM Punk, I don't. And take all the backstage stuff aside, I think he really has a passion for professional wrestling. And he said something with the Slammy at the Slammies, which, by the way, cool to have the Slammies back. A great way to do it.
I didn't watch. Event.
I missed that. It was what it was. I just think it's cool to have him back. It was a cool thing to have. But he said something, and I never thought about this before, but he was like, I don't need the pyro and the crazy entrances. He goes, it's all about being the best in the world and coming out and putting on a great show. And it's true. The guy doesn't have this crazy entrance like everybody else, right? I mean, he just comes out to Cult of Personality and people go crazy for him. And he is so good on the microphone. It's unbelievable. I don't care what anybody says. He can get you to watch just by that. So kudos to him. I thought he, for someone who wasn't on the card, he did a great job. And I thought his presence was felt there. And okay, so Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch started off the show, which I think we all thought that was going to happen, but you predicted it. I think it was a great way to start off the show. Give me your thoughts on that.
Okay, so we're diving right into the highlight.
We're going to go quickly, like a two-minute synopsis. We're not going to get crazy.
All right, you're really hamstringing me, Vito. Okay,
hey,
that's fine. So I think Becky and Rhea is a great way to open the show. I'm glad I was right. I just think with the energy of the crowd for night one, this was the way to do it. The crowd was so hot for Rhea Ripley. She is not a heel. She is a face. And it's like she's so badass. She's cool. And I think the crowd has just fully embraced that. There was some boos actually for Becky Lynch, which was interesting. And you know, listen, for Becky to keep her character fresh, who knows if she ever goes down that road again, but we'll see. This match was really good. And I say really good because it's hard to compare Rhea Ripley's match with Becky against her match previously with Charlotte last year. And that was a match of the year candidate. So even though I wouldn't put it on that level, I still think that it doesn't take away, in my view, from the quality of this match. This was needed to solidify Rhea's standing within the company and as champion. When you look at kind of the bigger picture here, Rhea and now for that matter, Bianca having like a couple of statement wins over some of the horsewomen, I think it's clearly setting the stage for this sort of next generation of female talent that's going to be dominating the top of the division. And it was even said in the press conference on Saturday, Rhea talked about it, that, you know, for the horsewomen, for all the great things they did, like, you know, they're all getting up there now. Like this is the stuff we talk about with the men, which is a kind of cool in my opinion, that like we're talking about them in the same light. It's like, well, all right, well, this person's getting a little older and we got the young ones coming up and like this next generation of talent. And it's this match really set the stage for Rhea. I think there was some purposeful shifts in her appearance. I don't know if you noticed, but she had the hair extensions when she usually has the shorter hair. I don't know if you caught a little bit of the kickoff show and some of the other stuff when like people were coming in, but Rhea's attire is starting to change. And I think that's indicative of probably some sort of Judgment Day split. Yeah, I think she's going to start kind of going off on her own, which is normal. All of them seem to be doing that. But for Rhea specifically, I think her character's on the precipice of a shift. And we'll see that probably in the coming months.
Yeah, no, I think you're 100% right. And those are great observations. I think it was a fantastic match. Couple things that I want to note about it. At the press conference, it was pretty interesting that she basically said, yep, four horsewomen are gone. It's our time. And the other piece that I thought was interesting, and I think it was her that said this, that, or maybe it was Bailey, I can't remember, but they said something about how where WWE is today, the Attitude Era could only hope that it was as good as it is now, which is a bold statement.
It is.
Trish Stratus said something on her Twitter where, man, it was great to be at WrestleMania and hear those reactions. We had those reactions on Monday Night Raw on a weekly basis when I was wrestling.
So and it's starting.
Yeah. And then she said something along the lines of like, you know, I am a mother, but I haven't faced mommy yet. Trish Stratus is not some spring chicken. She's older, but that would be a cool matchup. They've never faced each other. I love when generations go at it like that because it just creates competition and it's really cool. But I thought it was a great match. The one other thing I'll point out, did you notice Becky Lynch, her attire was about her book?
I did notice
and
that.
And one thing I saw throughout this whole show, and I'm not going to tell you I hated it, there was a lot of promotion, like a lot more than normal. And I was okay with most of it. There was some things that were a little cheesy here and there, which is fine. But I find it interesting that she was able and they allowed her to promote her book that way, because it opens up a whole storm of what will they and won't they allow when it comes to that. And I like them being able to promote their own stuff because they're athletes, and it just, it's a unique thing in a presentation to be able to promote something that's not related to WWE, or maybe it is. I don't know. Maybe they get a cut. I have no idea, but I think it's a unique thing, and I'm glad they're doing it and trying it. Let's see where it goes. But overall, I thought that match, as far as the wrestling goes, I mean, we knew it was going to blow the house down. I thought it was a great energy to start the show. It did what it needed, to do. And I mean, I think Rhea Ripley's as hot as they get right now. And her opening entrance, I was stoked about, because I also am a Motionless in White fan. I'm not like a huge fan, but it was cool to see that they brought back some rock music, and they even had rock music in the show for highlights, which they haven't done in forever. It's usually just a lot of poppy, stupid songs that, you know, great, maybe some people like it, but I like that they mixed it up throughout the whole production. And I noticed that. So anyways, that's my piece. But all right, that was more than 2 minutes, but let's, that match deserved it.
We're not going through every match here, guys, too. We're just going through some of our highlights of the last couple of nights.
Yeah, and I would tell you, as far as night one goes, you know, I think the Rey Mysterio and match and Andrade versus Santos Escobar and Dominic Mysterio, thought it was fine. It was probably the lower end of the card, and as far as impact goes, but I like that they brought in the Jason Kelsey and the other Philadelphia Eagle. I thought it was pretty cool. Great way to bring it, tie it all together. And I thought the match was fine. I think we can leave it at that. I don't know that there's too much to talk about with it. Then we had the tag match, Mikey, which, you know, the only thing I want to touch on this, and you said it, and I was going to text you when it was going on. But they talked about how they wanted to split those tag team titles up. And I'm like, how are they going to do this? This doesn't make any sense. And what a great way to do it. I mean, perfect way to split it up. No one even questioned it. And I think they specifically left it out until the show just to kind of get, because it did exactly what you do. Oh, that's interesting. But then now you have two tag team champions again. And what a great way to do it.
Yeah. What a smart way to just, it's a little detail that they waited until literally the match started for you to see, oh,
perfect,
they're hung up there separately, so they're going to separate them. And
perfect,
that was kind of cool. It's a nice way to just, you don't have to make too much of a big deal about it. It's just, okay, so now this tag team is on Raw, this tag team is going to be on SmackDown. And maybe that's a good thing, to sort of separate the titles. They're committing then to the brands, right? So I'm all fine with that, because we heard news over the last couple of years about whether or not it was going to remain as like one tag team title or was going to separate again. So I thought it was pretty great.
I thought it was perfect. A little bit of chaos with the match. I mean, it's tough to have a match like that and you know, really see everything that's going on. But I think that was kind of the idea. It was just chaos, right? And I thought it was great. Yeah. I thought it was perfectly fine. Some great spots with everyone. I thought New Catch Republic looked great. I mean, really, I thought it was just great. And I'm glad The Miz and R-Truth won. I think R-Truth got his moment, which is great. I think he deserves it. He's been doing some of his greatest work. And he's older. I don't know how much he's got left in the tank here. So let's move on. All right. This is the one we could talk about for a little bit longer, because I thought it was a good one. This is one of my highlights. And I think me and you touched on this when we were chatting about the show. Sami Zayn and Gunther. I think we thought this would be one of the better matches, and I thought it was. I'll give you my minute and a half synopsis of it. I was, when they showed the beginning, when Sami Zayn was coming in and they saw him kissing his wife and then his son, and then he sees Chad Gable, and Chad Gable thanks him and says he owes him one for training him. which is then setting up something else in the future, which I love that they're doing this now. And then you see KO saying like, go get him. And they had that one scene where they had the camera just show him as he walked into the ring. At that moment, I said, oh, this is like a Rocky moment, because you're going against Gunther, who's like the Russian and can't be beaten. And then he, Sami Zayn got his ass kicked at the beginning. Yeah. And then you had Gunther looking into the crowd, kind of like the Russian did on Rocky IV, right?
Yeah.
and he ends up winning. And it was a great moment. Was Sami Zayn the guy to beat Gunther? I don't know. But the way that they set it up, yeah, the way that they set it up, I just thought it was a great way. And I think Sami Zayn, more than anyone on WWE right now, is fantastic at that storytelling. Mm-hmm. He draws emotion out of people, almost like a Shawn Michaels. I think that's what makes Shawn Michaels so great. Triple H talked about it on the press conference about how Shawn Michaels was just fantastic at drawing emotion out of people. And I think Sami Zayn is that type of guy. I just think he is. He elicits that emotion, and you want to get behind him. And he does a fantastic job. So I thought that was one of the best matches of the card, in my opinion.
I think I had it down as my match of the night for WrestleMania Saturday. I mean, no offense to the main event, which is great, and we'll talk about that. But Sami versus Gunther, holy smokes. It was, what a wonderful story to tell in the ring. And like you were saying, it's just, I'm just kind of repeating what you're saying. What this does is solidify Sami Zayn as an all-time performer. And really what happens when you have the right leadership in place that can capitalize on the strengths of a performer like that. And Triple H sees that within Sami Zayn. And it's so much, so different when that person believes in that person and puts them in a position to shine and not to embarrass them and make themselves look right about everything. So I think this is a credit to Triple H too. I don't want to sing too much of his praises, because really it was Sami and Gunther out there that told this story and did it really well. And I admit that I had my own reservations at first, because I think both of us here have a little bit of PTSD when it comes to WWE storytelling and their ability to incorporate some sort of mainstream pop culture reference into their stories without it seeming overly corny to the point where it's like a detriment to it. And this actually worked out really well. It was like the best of that. And I didn't feel cringe at all, actually. And I was worried about that, but it didn't. I thought, you know, there's that word verisimilitude, right? Richard Donner did it. He was the director of the original Superman movie. And the way he talked about it is, what happens in this world needs to be true to that world. And that's what it felt like in this. And it was like a perfect example of that.
Yeah, 100% agree. And I think Gunther had to lose. I think the fact that Roman Reigns lost the title opens up this new era where more people can go after the title. And I think it's Gunther's time to do that. And to do that, he had to lose the title and give it to somebody mm-hmm. else.
Right.
So I think that's where they're going to go with this, because I think Gunther and Rhodes are going to have a match down the line. And I think it's going to be a banger, to be honest with you. So
absolutely.
And he's a bad guy, and he's one of the better bad guys right now. He's one of the better heels. So great match. And I agree with you. One of the better on the cards. All right. Quickly. The Bianca Belair match with Jade Cargill and Naomi versus Damage Control. I think it was what it was. I don't think it was a bad match. I think it was, I was a little sad about Bianca Belair not having a moment on her own, but I think this was different. I think this was her way of being able to pull up a Naomi and a Jade Cargill, right? And the only thing I'll say about it is, at the end during the press conference, someone came up to them and asked the question of, you know, how did it feel to be three African-American women winning and being a part of that at WrestleMania. And I think Bianca Belair hit the nail on the head, or maybe it was Jade Cargill even who said this, but they said, I'm more excited for the day when it doesn't matter mm-hmm. if it's three African-American women and I don't get this question. Like, that's what I'm excited for. And yeah. I thought it was a great, great answer. And I agree with her. Like, I don't even think that question, like, I never even thought about it that way. I was like, oh, these are three people who deserve to be on there. And I think Jade Cargill is definitely a presence, and you can see they're taking it slow with her. And I think she's going to have a spot there. And I thought it was just a good match. I thought it was fine. I thought it did what it needed to do. And that was that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was a great showcase for her. That's really what it was. It was showcasing Jade. It was a vet, an established star, and a rising star. Perfect team. And you know, I think, I don't know if they'll keep them together going forward. The draft is going to throw a lot of things into disarray, I think. But I do believe that, you know, even Damage Control ended up looking pretty good coming out of that. You know, you got Asuka, who is an established veteran, Kairi Sane, who's established, Dakota Kai. This, I thought, did a good job for her. I think it continues to showcase her as well as the de facto leader of Damage Control going forward. So I'm really excited to see where it goes with all six of these women.
Absolutely. And then the main event, which we can talk about. I thought it was great. I think it did exactly what we said it was going to do. Mm-hmm. It opened up the fact that you wanted to root for Cody even more than you already did. And I give The Rock a lot of credit. I thought he looked as good as you could look for 50-something-year-old who hasn't wrestled in 8 years. He definitely is not as, you know, quick as he used to be. Like, I could see him taking some of the bumps, and it was not the same old Rock.
Yeah, he looked like it hurt. It looked like it hurt.
But I give him a lot of credit. I thought it did exactly what it needed to do, and set up perfectly for the main event of night two.
I'm right there with you. I thought this was a really good tag team match. It felt like a main event, and it's just the four guys that were in the ring. Credit to Seth Rollins, by the way.
You took the words out of my mouth.
He is just an unsung hero, and it's kind of this weird thing, and we're going to get to it later on, but man, Seth Rollins, I feel like, was such a pivotal character in the story that they were telling in this main event, and we'll get to that later. But as far as his work in this match, he was phenomenal too. He took a lion's share of the ass kicking right there. He took a lot of the Rock stuff, and him, it was actually kind of funny. Him and Rock actually had some pretty good chemistry there. I never thought that I would live long enough to see the day where The Rock is involved in a match and he's going out into the crowd again. I mean, this felt like he was just back on Raw, like his old days. So to have Rock in such a substantial story again felt really good. He did such a great job in the build to this event. He took like the lion's share of this, but this did a great job of showing The Rock's viciousness in a match setting again, and I thought that was needed to establish that. And you know, I think it continues to plant the seeds for who's the head of the table, right? So I think it continues to plant those seeds as you watch that match. Like very little things, so people should go back and watch it, but I think this was a great match. It wasn't the best tag team match of all time, but it didn't need to be. It set up what it needed to for the night after. So everything had a purpose. And I think that's the theme here. Everything felt like it had a purpose.
Agreed. 100%. I think that's exactly what needed to be said about it. It was great. My only thing I'll say, The Rock did a great job of using his powers as the board member to mess with the referee. I thought it was great.
We were all laughing on Saturday watching it. We just, what does he do? Like, he just threatened the ref. You know, I had friends over, and so they're just like, why did he threaten to fire that guy? I'm like, because he's The Rock.
Yeah, I know. It was great. All right, night two, fantastic as well. I think they were equally as good. You opened up the show with Who opened up the? Oh, it was Seth Rollins and Drew that opened up the show. I blanked out there for a minute. What a way to open up a show, man! Like, I think that was as good, if not better, than the opener the night before. Like, it was great. Seth did a great job. I mean, Drew is just doing some awesome work. We've already talked about it, He tweeted. I don't know if you saw. I didn't know what he was doing
during the match. He tweeted during the match. His girlfriend was there, and he took her phone. And he just tweeted.
Yeah. But I thought it was a great way to do it because, you know, he got his moment where he wins the championship in front of a crowd. And then you look at Seth Rollins and he says, you deserve it. But yeah. The interesting part about that is you can take that two ways. You can take it as he deserved it to win it, or he knew that
Punk was going to end up attacking him. So he was like, you deserve what's about to come.
And the cash in. And I felt that cash in coming. I think I texted you like a minute and a half before it actually happened. I'm like, this has to be the moment that it happens. It has to be. Yeah. You know, as much as I feel a little bit bad for Drew, I think it was the perfect way to do it. He had to Damian Priest had to cash in his title at some point. Yeah. I don't know how I feel about him as that champion. The one quick thing I'll say about that championship, and I think never thought about this, but Triple H said it at the press conference. That title, you don't just create a title, right? Like a title is only metal if it doesn't have lineage to it. And he was like, you can debate the lineage of that title if you want to. He goes, but it doesn't matter. He goes, I'll tell you, if you want to do something and you want to create a new title, just put the belt on Seth Rollins. Because Seth really did bring that belt to new heights. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious to see how it goes moving forward. It should be interesting. So
I agree with you. I think it was great. I think, again, just singing the praise of Seth Rollins, the dude. It's weird that it took us this long to finally like fully appreciate what this guy's been doing, but just an absolute workhorse. And that match with Drew was really well done. They were physical. They beat the hell out of each other. And then also having Punk on commentary, which, you know, like to your point earlier, he's great on the mic and he can tell a story and you can tell he's just enjoying himself. And there is a difference between AEW Punk and WWE Punk. There's a difference night and day. People may not like it, but there is. And the guy just seems like he's much happier and it seems like he's doing better work. So I'm fine with it. And the beatdown after was a legitimate surprise because I think it's showing that maybe he's not as injured as he initially thought. And he's recovering much, much better than the previous triceps tear. And two, I thought it was awesome. Like just his facial expression when Damian Priest's music hit and he's come running down. Punk is smiling ear to ear. He's like, yes, I cannot believe this is about to happen. And so they're clearly moving in the Drew McIntyre Punk direction, which was further solidified last night on Raw if you didn't catch it. But again, great match. Great match.
Yeah. And it was really uncomfortable watching Drew McIntyre get in Punk's face at the end. Like, I don't know how you felt about it, but for some reason I felt really uncomfortable.
It felt real. Like,
yeah,
really just like in his face trying to goad him to do something.
Yeah. But I just love how WWE has multiple storylines going on. So it sets up for something else, right? Like you're watching a match where Seth and Drew McIntyre, and then, you know, you also have Punk, you know, which, you know, is going to be the next logical step. So great match. Great match. Let's keep going here. All right, Street Fight, Lashley and the Street Profits. It was great. Bubba Ray being there, I thought, you know, was a perfect way to do it. And Snoop on commentary, I'll say it till I'm blue in the face. It was a perfect time for him to be on commentary. Some of the stuff he said was so good. So kudos to him. I thought the match was fine. It was what it was. And Bubba Ray being there, I think, was a good little touch. Like you get a little bit of Attitude Era and you got a hardcore match. It was great to have him there. And the What's Up was a cool spot. So yeah, I think that's all you need to say about that.
Yeah.
LA Knight versus AJ Styles. I know I said that was going to be the match of WrestleMania. I think I said that at one point, that was going to be a good match. I thought it was good. I don't know if it was the match of WrestleMania, but it was good. It was way better than I thought it was going to be. What are your thoughts?
I think it was too. I think it was just, you know, it was a good match. I had no like real strong feelings about it. It's a good win for LA Knight. I think he needs that if they want to use him the way they want to use him later on this year. But I thought it was good. But that's all I can say is like, it was good. You know, it was fine.
Agreed. I agree with all of those things. Then you had the women's championship match with Bayley and Io, which I also thought was a great match. you know, again, I still don't think Bayley got her due justice for winning the Royal Rumble. But, you know, I think for what it was, she won the championship. It was great to see her there and winning in that moment. I thought the match was great. The crowd was really into it.
Yeah, the crowd was. They loved it. And I loved it, too. I think, to your point about her placement on the card, Vito, I agree with you. Right. Yeah. I think she's sort of collateral damage for just how much they invested in the Cody Roman Rock story, that it just ended up kind of crowding the top of the card. So I don't think it's necessarily a statement on her quality as a wrestler, but I just think you had a story that was way too big for it to be anything else but at the top. So I think that's the collateral damage part of it. But that aside, this match felt very important, and it was very important. The video package leading up to it, the entrance from Bayley, that Egyptian entrance, I thought was pretty badass. You know, Bayley for a long time has been the unsung hero of the horsewomen. And again, even though she's not in the main event, which she did say she still aims on doing that. If there was some interview afterwards, whether it was the presser or another interview, where she said, "Now my next goal is to actually main event." Very well put together match. Bayley had me going, honestly. She fooled me, because she's got that history with the leg injuries and sold it at the very beginning of the match when she did this little crossbody outside the ring. And I was like, oh no, did she actually injure herself? Because she got up and it was like kind of the ginger, but she sold it really well. And that was kind of the story of the whole match, was just Bayley's resilience. And that's such a story for her whole career, is just the resilience of, hey, my character's not working, I got to make changes to it. Hey, this isn't working, I got to make changes. She has always been someone who's been adaptable. And it's really a credit to Bayley. She was doing her adaptations before Becky was doing that stuff. So I really just can't sing Bayley's praises enough. And Io as well. She's such a great performer. And she has this reliability in the ring that kind of reminds me of Asuka. Like, you can put her in the ring with anybody, she's going to have a great match. And you need people like that on your roster, because it's going to bring up other people. And I think specifically Sunday night, they were hitting pretty hard. There was one point where Bayley and Io were just kind of slapping the hell out of each other. And I think that was kind of purposeful, because I don't know if you watched NXT. I don't know if you watched Stand and Deliver the other night, right? Did you watch
that? A little bit. I watched a good amount of it. Yeah.
Did you see that Julia was in the crowd? She's a big star over in Japan. And
yes.
WWE has signed her, so she's going to start in NXT. And I think she's someone that if you book her right, she could be sort of that next generation of Asuka. She's hard hitting. She's fantastic in the ring. People love her. So I think that was purposeful that they were doing stuff like that while she was also watching this match. So anyway, I could sing her praises till the cows come home, but this match was great. Wonderful moment for Bayley to get her time in the sun.
Agreed. All right. And finally, the main event, which
bonkers. I think
everyone, it's been a long time since I've been excited for a main event like I was this year. I think last year I was excited, and kudos to Roman Reigns, because without his run and his build the way it was, it's funny. I was talking to a friend who doesn't really watch wrestling anymore, but he used to, and I was trying to explain to him how Roman Reigns has been champion for 3+ years. And he goes, how is that even fun? You know he's going to win. Like, that doesn't make any sense. And I said, no. You have to understand that he's become this unstoppable force, and it's a storytelling. So now the guy who's going after it, you don't know who's going to beat him. So whoever beats him is going to be a really, really big deal. And it has to be the right person. And this story was so good. And I understand why he lost last year. But it became this gauntlet all year long of beating guys like Brock Lesnar and having these banger matches so he could finish this story, which the story was real life. It was his family. It was a legend from wrestling's archives in Dusty Rhodes. And he never, you know, and to have Cody be able to make everything go full circle and have it be a real underdog who works his ass off that people respect really made it special when he won, really did. And I thought the match presentation was so good. It was so good. And I got to give Roman Reigns his credit.
I think we're going to be kind of posthumously looking at the Roman Reigns title reign and having much more fonder appreciation for it than we did during it.
100%.
I think that usually is, unfortunately, what happens is you don't realize what you have until it's gone. And Roman, his incredible run is probably something we're unlikely to see again in wrestling for a very long time, because it was so significant for the business. And I think it was, might have been Cody saying this, like of what he was on Pat McAfee's show yesterday, and he was talking about just the importance of Roman's reign and that it really kind of carried over from one era to another, and that he was kind of the bar, like the standard setter right there. And you know, whether you loved him or you hated him, the guy was an absolute powerhouse for WWE and really changed a lot of things and had one of the more significant storylines in all of wrestling that had gone on for years and kept people's interest. That's really hard to do nowadays.
So, and not only that, Mikey, and he did it at a time when, you know, with the whole COVID situation and no live crowds, wrestling could have gone down. And he was able to make that reign last through COVID, come out of it, and really get people interested again. And I think, you know, it doesn't matter who wins the belt. Without having someone to amplify the story from another perspective, it doesn't mean as much, right? Mm-hmm. And he just did such a great job of becoming that character where you didn't know who was going to beat him. And he went through the gauntlet of people. Like, he faced them all. And it was great. It had everyone on the edge of their seats. And even just the ending, you know, it all came full circle with the final boss. Like, you had, you know, Jimmy Uso come out, then Jey Uso came to Cody's aid. Mm-hmm. Then you had Solo come out and John Cena come out, right? Then you had The Rock, the final boss, come out, and of course you see The Undertaker. Shout out to Sarge, who gave us some inside info on that spot.
Yeah.
Just a great way to have that ending, and then to see like the locker room come out and have respect for Cody, and it just seemed like everyone was happy for him, you mm-hmm. know. And Seth Rollins coming out as the Shield, which came full circle.
Yep.
Oh, I mean, it was just a great, great ending to a great story, and I'm excited to see where it goes. The one thing I kept hearing during the press conference is they're just going to keep taking the levels up, which I'm excited for, man. They've set the bar pretty high. Do you feel the same way about this match?
I do. I think, you know, for all the insanity and just the bonkers stuff that happened during this match, I was talking to a friend, the Danimal, shout out to him, who said this would only work within the confines of a WrestleMania match. And he's absolutely right. Because if we saw this maybe on another show, we would be like, this is just too much. But for WrestleMania, for it to be the main event and all of this happens, it's sort of like the rules kind of go out the window for that. Like, all right, anything could happen in the main event of WrestleMania. And this was a perfect example of that. Look at what we had, right? You had basically the Attitude Era just kind of car crashing into the current era's match. And just with all of the different stuff that happened, you had kind of a payoff to a storyline that started 10 years ago with Seth and Roman. And then, oh yeah, John Cena showed up in case you couldn't see him. So there was so much in this match itself, but yet it was still very well done. They structured it great. And I know I always like say that about matches, but this was structured well. You know, for the no DQ nature of this match, they didn't really start diving into that until towards the end. You know, they had a couple, like a spot here with like the, like with the kendo stick or something, but it really wasn't a lot. So they still operated as though this was just a straight up one-on-one match for a good portion of the time. And Cody and Roman told a really good story together. It was definitely that WWE style main event. You know what I'm saying? Like, where it wasn't, yeah. they weren't taking a lot of chances. They weren't hopping up on the top rope because that's just not who they are. And so they kind of kept true to their identity in this match. And I thought it was really well done. Something I noticed in terms of just like kind of there's like a little like poetry in the end of this match. That's where like the whole schmoz started, where he goes for the crossroads the first time and he hits it once. And then as soon as he goes up for the second one, that's when Jimmy comes out. And then, you know, there's a whole schmoz there. And then eventually he gets another shot and he goes for the crossroads again. And this time he hits two of them. And then he goes for the third one and then Solo comes out. And then that's when John Cena comes out and then The Rock comes out and Undertaker. And then that leads to Seth's moment with him where, you know, the music hits and all that stuff. And Roman's got the chair and he's deciding whether he's going to hit Cody or he's going to hit Seth. And it's so funny because he can't let it go. Roman, you kind of see how petty Roman is in a way. Like he can't let go of something that happened 10 years ago with Seth Rollins turning on him. And it makes Seth Rollins' character all the more important to this story because he says to Cody months ago, I can be your shield against him.
Yep.
And so he really lived up to that. He was the shield against him. And in this awesome turnabout, 10 years ago, Seth was incredibly selfish and turned on the shield. And the other night, he was incredibly selfless in kind of sacrificing himself so that Cody could beat Roman. So for the greater good. So it was a really great match. And then just kind of the symmetry, Cody gets the crossroads one more time and he hits all three and he pins him and wins. And it's one of the best TV moments we've had for wrestling in a long time.
Yeah. And I had to look this up because I forgot the exact quote, but Michael Cole said this at the end and it was really cool. He goes, sometimes this business hits you right in the heart. It doesn't get any sweeter than this. Mm-hmm. And I think that was not a line that I think they made up. I think that was literally him talking about it and how he loves this business. And this was the pinnacle of that. And it all feels like the start of this Triple H era or whatever you want to call it is just on the right path. It's great. Everyone's loving it from the commentators to the fans, to the wrestlers. You can feel the energy and what a great way to end WrestleMania. Yeah. It was just fantastic. The only thing I will say, and I'm curious to understand what the reasoning is behind this, is Undertaker came in there, but I felt like it was supposed to be Austin in some weird way. And I don't know I don't know what happened. Don't know the story there. But I mean, it makes sense. The Undertaker going against the final boss. WrestleMania is Undertaker's thing, right? I mean, it made sense, but I'm curious to understand. No one talked about it. No one said anything, but it felt like it was supposed to be Austin. So, but overall, fantastic weekend. Mm-hmm. Really, 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 really enjoyed it. It was great. You went home. Oh, one match we forgot to talk about quickly. Logan Paul, RKO. Nice. And KO, good match. I thought it was great. And I knew Logan Paul was going to win when they put him on in the spot they were in, because you couldn't have a feel good moment there, a feel good moment with Sami Zayn, a feel good moment with Bayley, and a feel good moment at the end. Like you just couldn't. So again, really great match. I thought Logan Paul, you know, again, just delivers with these guys. You like him or hate him. I still don't like the guy, but it's fine. Respect what he's doing. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was well done overall. So
absolutely. Absolutely.
Real quick though, before we end this, Mikey, mm-hmm. I just want to say happy birthday. Number one.
Thank you.
Was yesterday. Mm-hmm. And also, shout out, and I know I wasn't there, I couldn't make it to your party. Mikey Cash has a banger every year, and I unfortunately had some circumstances come up, I couldn't make it. But I saw this cake that you posted on our
socials. TikTok. Yeah.
Talk about this for a minute. Give a shout out.
So this has been a tradition that's been going on for I think 10 years now, but shout out to my friend Rhiannon. She is the one that always makes these cakes and they're absolutely gorgeous. If you haven't checked it out, go on our social media, go on the TikTok especially. We get a nice good view of it. she pulled out all the stops this year. So shout out to Rhiannon and Cakes by Maureen. It was wonderful. It was really wonderful. And it, it was funfetti too. So, I mean, best of both.
As much as I missed your party and I was sad about it, when you posted that picture of the cake, man, I was really sad.
Yeah, it was really good. It was really good. So that was it was a great WrestleMania weekend.
And, you know, I know we don't have a ton of time left, but I just want to touch on this. Raw last night, commercial-free, very interesting Raw. I thought the beginning with The Rock coming out, I didn't expect him to come out. But I will tell you, it was a very good segment. There was definitely awkward moments and I didn't understand what was going on. And I still want to know what The Rock handed Cody Rhodes.
I think we'll get there.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be, you're not going to get the answer right away. And they're going to kind of save that for a little bit later. It's like, you know, Rock's press conference on Saturday where he talked about pay attention to what people are saying. Pay attention to what we're doing because it's going to start paying off later. You know, I think he's adding layers to the storytelling, which I think is great. That's
awesome
for them, for WWE. That's going to be their bread and butter to get you to the match, right? Like every promotion is going to operate a little differently. So WWE operates much differently than AEW in terms of like what's going to get people invested in the match. So this is how they're doing it. And I think real quick thought, what we saw the first hour is what you're going to see when it's on Netflix. I think they're going to start being more purposeful about what it is they're including in these broadcasts and how they tell the stories. That was almost 45 minutes, that whole promo on Raw.
That
whole segment, completely commercial free. And I think this is how they're going to do it when they don't have commercials on Netflix. So yep. I think that you're kind of seeing a little bit of that now. And a hell of a ton of picture-in-picture stuff, by the way. So
yeah, ton. You know,
credit to AEW for influencing that.
True. The other piece that I thought was awesome is, and Triple H said this at the press conference, how they want to get as many fans in that arena as possible. And he said one time he asked about someone asked the question about how to get into a state. Oh, they're going to France, Paris for Backlash. And the guy came on and said, how do we get this in a bigger stadium? And he goes, you want us to come back? And you want us to be in a bigger stadium, then the fans better come and be loud. He's like, he wants people to cheer. He wants people to be invested. And he also said, he goes, you know, we tried to structure WrestleMania in a way so that people didn't have to pay these crazy prices to come to the show. They could sit where they wanted to sit. He's like, we're trying to do new things with the stage design. And you saw it on Raw. And I don't know if it was purposeful because it made sense and have to bring multiple things, but it was really cool to see the fans in the entrance area as people were coming out. It was really cool. And I thought that was awesome. And it makes for a more energetic crowd and you could hear the crowd. It was almost Attitude Era-esque. And it's great to see. The last two things I want to point out though, my final thoughts. Number one, Paul Heyman getting inducted to the Hall of Fame. I thought it was great. Awesome induction, you know, just great. And number two, I watched, to go on that, Stephanie McMahon coming back, I think is great. I'm really excited. It was interesting to see her there and you got a little bit of an awkward feeling, but it's great to have her back. I think she's great. And I thought it was a great way to bring her back. And then number two, if you haven't checked out the Bray Wyatt documentary, I watched it. As kind of prepping for WrestleMania, it was really, 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 really well done. And, you know, that's all I'll say about it, but it was really well done.
I still haven't checked that out yet. I need to.
It's good.
I need to watch it. So I'll be doing that. I really don't have a final thought. I'm excited to just see where they go. I think there's a lot of good story that they're going to be able to tell in the coming weeks. You know, it'll be interesting because between the build for Backlash and the draft coming up in a few weeks, there's going to be a lot of chaos in WWE, and I think they kind of want it that way. Can I keep the interest of, well, who's going where, what's going to happen? I think it'll be great. I think it's going to be a good couple of weeks, and I'm looking forward to it. So without any further ado, guys, thank you for being here with us. This episode went a lot longer than we thought it was going to. We said this will be like a half hour. And
it was worth it.
We couldn't help but gush about WrestleMania.
It was worth it.
The next episode will probably be a little shorter than that, but We're really excited that you're here with us. Keep watching, keep subscribing. We'll be back in a couple of weeks. We're going to record an episode about just the build to Backlash so far. We're going to also be checking in with AEW because they're going to just be having the Dynasty pay-per-view. So we'll be able to review that a little bit. And we got some exciting things coming your way. So, you know, keep your eyes and ears peeled. And until next episode, keep on strutting, jabronis.